Hey, it's Anna Sale, and I want to thank you for listening to Death, Sex, and Money, where I explore the big questions and hard choices that are often left out of polite conversation. You can hear new episodes ad-free every week on Amazon Music, where you can find Death, Sex, and Money and all of your Slate favorites without the ads.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Stahl. I'm Slate's jurisprudence editor. Ordinarily, I edit our courts and legal coverage from the comfort of my home office in Los Angeles, but for the next month and a half, I will be locked in a lower Manhattan courtroom with the rest of the press, a jury of 12 New Yorkers, Justice Juan Merchan, prosecutors, Trump's defense team, and the former president himself as history unfolds. I've temporarily moved myself and my family from Los Angeles to New York to cover this case firsthand, like I have done in other cases, including the Paul Manafort case, the Roger Stone criminal trial, and Donald Trump's first impeachment. I'm hoping that my background knowledge of the many, many criminal travails of our former president can offer something to you, Slate's listener. Over the next several weeks, you'll be hearing from me on Amicus, Slate's legal podcast, and in articles on Slate.com, from the jury selection to the opening arguments to the witness testimony and cross-examination and the prosecution's case and the defense's case, and ultimately to a final verdict. We will be providing you wall-to-wall coverage throughout the entirety of the trial as it unfolds from the courtroom. There's no way I'd be able to do it without the support of Slate Plus. So if you're not already a subscriber, please join today by clicking Try Free at the top of the Amicus show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/amicusplus to get access wherever you listen. Thank you so, so much.
The worst that can happen to me is I end up being as poor as I started. And I know what it's like to live life that poor. So when you have that kind of life, you take chances because you're like, well, if I don't, then what's the point?
This is Death, Sex, and Money.
In a couple years, that old sun's going to burn out and we're all going to be dead.
The show from WNYC about the things we think about a lot.
I was in love with a man who could never love me back.
And need to talk about more.
These people work very hard for their money.
I'm Anna Sale. Comedian Cristela Alonzo is the youngest of four kids. They were raised by a single mom in South Texas, where they lived in an abandoned diner.
There was no running water, no electricity. This family that lived next to the diner would basically lend us electricity, and we would have an extension cord. So my mom used to cook our food on a space heater.
Growing up that poor motivated Cristela. It's also what a lot of her jokes are about, in the sitcom she created and in her latest comedy special.
Back when I was growing up, you could feed a family of four back in the day for like $20. Family of four, $20. But if you want to make a salad at home, boom, $1,000. I went to Whole Foods. My God, that store should have layaway. What the fuck are we doing?
I want to start with the name of your special, Lower Classy.
Yes.
Which I think is one of the all-time great names for a comedy special. Is that how you think of yourself now?
No. In certain situations, I do, actually. I feel like I'm made to feel like that in certain situations. But, you know, I chose Lower Classy because I like talking about where I came from to show people why I am the way I am now. You know, like so many people feel bad for me that I grew up poor. It's like, no. I'm actually really good right now. Like, I did okay. The poverty I grew up with actually made me want to work really hard to not ever be that poor again.
So right now, do you feel upper middle classy?
Right now, I feel lower middle. Like, for me to say middle is a big deal. Because for me, it's just, I have money. I have the kind of money where I can go into like a Target and just go on my own Pretty Woman shopping spree. You know, I feel
the cart.
Yeah. You know, it's like for
I'm
me.
I'm going to the clothing section now.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, bring me that Massimo. I can afford it. You know what I mean? It's like, look at you, fancy lady.
Cristela was born in Texas. Her mom moved there from Mexico without her husband. She left him after finding out he was having an affair.
my dad actually thought that he could get away with having two families. And my mom said, nope, you're not doing that. Nope. When she told him that she was pregnant with me, he didn't want me. And he left to the other family, and I never saw him. And I never met him in my life.
Never met him?
Nope.
So your mother has three little kids and a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
And is a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
Who in the States, like who in the part of Texas that you were living in, who was part of her community?
No one. She had no one. And that's actually what I think was very heartbreaking. She worked at a restaurant and she would kind of socialize with the women that she worked with, but she worked double shifts. You know, my mom would make $150 a week, you know, working these double shifts. She didn't have a lot of free time. She was trying to survive and trying to get us to survive. She had no community. She had nothing. And you can tell how hard it was on her.
Cristela's mom was also trying to live under the radar while she waited for her immigration papers to be finalized. That wasn't an uncommon situation in their border town, where a lot of people lived on the margins.
You know, in my neighborhood, everybody, I want to say that 70% of the people in my area live well below the poverty line. Having said that, though, we were the poor kids of the poor kids. That was my family.
Is it strange for you now as an adult to go into a diner?
No. You know, it's funny. It's not. Actually, I didn't realize I lived in a diner till I was in my 20s and told the story.
Hmm.
And then some of my friends were like, wait a minute, you grew up in a diner? And I was like, no, it wasn't a diner. Because it was so non-functioning and so decrepit that, like, you couldn't even.
Yeah, there wasn't like a counter and booths.
Exactly. You know, so,
sort of
yeah. So it's funny. Like, I remember calling my brothers and my, you know, and I think my mom and asking her, and they're like, yeah, stupid. It was a diner. Like, not stupid. Like, God, you're dumb. Like, why are you so dumb? Like, are you really?
I was four.
Exactly. You know, it's like, I was, exactly. I'm like, I barely knew colors and shapes.
When Cristela was seven, her mom was able to move the family out of the diner and into a house. She also bought a couch.
And every picture you see of us growing up, none of us are sitting on that couch because my mom didn't want the couch to age. You know, it's like, it's like for her, it was such a trophy that she could afford this couch. You know, it's like that's kind of how I grew up. Everything that we had, everything that we bought was always really taken care of and cherished like hell because we couldn't believe that we were getting these things. So one year, my mom, single mom, tried to do her version of Santa Claus, right? I wake up, there's a gift wrap box with a card that says Santa Claus. I look at my mom, she's like, I am Santa Claus. What? I am Santa Claus, Merry Christmas. No, I did not bust my butt so this white guy takes credit for my shit. I am Santa Claus, me.
When you were growing up, was your mom always working the double shifts as in restaurants?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And who would take care of you when you were home?
My sister took care of me, and then she eloped when she was 18 years old. She ran off and got married with her boyfriend, and my brothers kind of took over. But my brothers were also responsible for helping out with the family, so they had to get work. So I became a latchkey kid, I would say, at like maybe four, six. I would stay by myself, and I used to watch TV all day. TV was my best friend growing up. It's kind of like, do you remember the Gilda Radner character where she kind of has her own talent show by herself in her room? She's like a little girl.
Yeah.
Like, that was me as a kid. Like, I was by myself. I'd create these little shows by myself. I mean, it was kind of, it's weird. Now looking back, I realize that I'm very similar to my mom where I never had a community. I never really had a group of people. I was really kind of always by myself.
Cristela's obsession with TV turned into a love for theater when a middle school teacher signed her up for a class. She started traveling to do theater competitions in high school and was winning. That helped her go off to college in St. Louis.
I actually never thought I was going to go to college. And I was told that I would probably not go to college. You know,
it's, by whom?
By my mom. A lot of times in my family, the parents pick the kid that will take care of them when they're older. And my mom picked me, which means that my entire life, I always knew that if she ever got sick, I would always have to put my life on hold to take care of her because she chose me. It's kind of like winning a really, like, resentful lottery in a way. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, so, and that's exactly what happened. I went to college at 18, and I was there for a year. And my mom got sick. And I had to drop out. And my sister needed help with the kids. And, you know, my mom told me, this is family. You have to quit your life. You have to take care of me, or you have to take care of your sister's kids.
Cristela went back to Texas to help her mom, but she couldn't stop thinking about becoming an actress. She left home again when she was 20, but instead of going back to college, she headed to L.A. in a red Chevy Cavalier. She wasn't there long, though. Cristela got a call that her mom had gotten sick again.
No one told me she was dying until I got home. When I saw her, she ended up getting better. And my mom believed that seeing me saved her life because she loved me so much.
My goodness.
She asked me to not go back to L.A. and stay with her and take care of her. And I did. We ended up moving in with my sister. I shared like a little tiny room with her because she had heart problems. She was constantly in pain. So I never really slept because she would spend the night moaning. She was in pain, and I was sleeping next to her. And that was my life for about, I would say, close to a year. And then finally, she got sick, had an ambulance. I went to the hospital with her. I was in the emergency room with her. And after surgery, we had to, she didn't improve. And, you know, we had to sign the papers to turn off the machines. And I remember, I think I was the only one in my family that could stand to be near her. Like in the room, they didn't want to be in the room when it happened, and I was in the doorway, and I couldn't get closer to her. My body would not allow me to be as close, and I just stood in that doorway, just looking at my mom, just kind of slipping away.
Towards the end, Cristela learned that her mom had had several strokes over many years, but they didn't know because her mom never went to the doctor. Cristela's mother was 57 years old when she died. Cristela was 22. Coming up, Cristela tries to restart her career after her mother's death, but not before she makes a big mistake.
I blew a .24.
Oh, that's a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, that was a lot of alcohol. And I feel really, that's probably one of the worst things I think I've ever done.
We heard from a lot of you after our breakups episode came out last week. And for some of you, it prompted some big life decisions, but not all about romantic relationships. Right after listening, our listener Cindy told us, I submitted my resignation at work. Nothing was changing, and it was definitely toxic. Thanks for the push I needed. We also saw a lot of you adding to our breakup survival kit Google Doc, including lots of suggestions for the things to watch section. And inspired by that, tonight, on February 22nd, let's watch a classic breakup movie together, 10 Things I Hate About You. Queue up your Netflix stream, and at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, we'll all press play together. I'll be tweeting along with the hashtag DSM Movie Night, and I hope you'll join in. All the info's on our Facebook page. And I have one other cool thing to tell you about. We wanted to add some real-time, person-to-person advice for your breakup survival needs. So next Friday, March 3rd, I'll be taking your calls live with two of my favorite past guests, musicians Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires. We'll be talking in Nashville, the heartache capital of the world. The last time I talked with Jason and Amanda, they opened up about the ups and downs in their relationship.
I had to go through a series of trials, Herculean trials, before she would actually say that we were, you know, that I was her boyfriend. It wasn't like we were playing the field. It was just like, she just didn't know she could trust me.
It's hard to trust somebody who's out carousing every night, you know?
Now it's your turn to call us and talk to Jason, Amanda, and me about what relationship dilemmas or post-breakup feelings you're sorting through. We'll be streaming the call-in special on Facebook Live at 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday, March 3rd. All those details are also on our Facebook page. I can't wait to talk with you. Let me tell you a good story. It was late on a Sunday afternoon, and my family and I had been away and rolled into the driveway, and everyone was worn out from traveling and getting hangry. But waiting for us was a solution. A Hungry Root box filled with healthy, grabbable snacks and a few different dinner meals to choose from. We tore into this thing like a pack of wild animals and ate all the snacks. But they were healthy, whole ingredients, fresh produce. And then we were set for dinner a few hours later, which only took about 15 minutes to prep and cook and get on the table. I was so grateful to my past self for doing my current self this solid by ordering this box. And it was easy. I took a short quiz to tell Hungry Root what kinds of meat my family eats, the sorts of flavors we like, any dietary restrictions we have, or just things we're trying to avoid, and when I wanted the box to be delivered. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Death, Sex, and Money listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/DSM to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/DSM. And don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Hi, this is Dahlia Lithwick, host of Slate's legal podcast, Amicus. If you're listening to this show, you might be interested in Amicus's live show that we're hosting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, May the 14th. My colleague, Mark Joseph Stern, and I will be talking to some amazing guests, including Sherrilyn Ifill and a sitting state Supreme Court justice, all about how originalism, a relatively recently invented way of interpreting the Constitution, has taken over the Supreme Court and radically reshaped the law. It's been doctrinal rocket fuel for the conservative legal movement and facilitated the rolling back of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and the obliteration of the separation of church and state. And as another wildly consequential Supreme Court term careers to its end, the court's originalists are on a tear. But there's something you can do about it, and we hope you'll join us in D.C. on May 14th to explore the possible pathways out of the current situation. Go to slate.com/amicuslive for tickets.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title the Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
I want to thank you for listening and for all your support as we at Death, Sex, and Money have made our move to Slate. Your stories, voice memos, and emails have meant so much to the team. As part of this transition, there's a new way to support our show financially at Slate, our new home, and you'll get something special in return. Subscribe to Slate Plus, and you'll not only support our work on Death, Sex, and Money, you'll get access to new benefits, including listening to us and all of the other great shows Slate makes, like Slow Burn and Decoder Ring, without any ads or sponsor breaks. To subscribe, just click Try Free at the top of the Death, Sex, and Money show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/DSM Plus to get access wherever you listen. Thanks. This is Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC. I'm Anna Sale. After her mom died, Cristela Alonzo found work at a comedy club in Dallas. She started learning about stand-up and about alcohol.
I had just started drinking. So it was kind of like a new thing for me to drink because my family doesn't drink. You know,
so you were like learning how to drink.
Yes.
At your most traumatic moment.
Yes. Absolutely. So it's that thing where like I was going through a very painful part of my life, but I was also kind of felt like a teenager at times, you know, like, you know, it's like I'm learning things that other people have been doing for years now. That was my way of doing it, especially because I worked at a bar. So it was so convenient. One night I got really, really drunk, and out of habit, because I used to talk to her every day when I wasn't near her, I called her number and it was disconnected. And I realized, like, that's when it hit me that my mom was gone. And I got a DUI that night, and I deserved it.
Did they take you in? Did you go to the police station?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, yes. I was taken to the police station. I was there overnight. I remember waking up the next day thinking I was dreaming because I was in a jail cell. And I went back to sleep, and then I woke up, and I realized that it was a real thing. My sister had posted bail, but no one in my family would pick me up from the police station. They made me walk home as punishment. So I had to walk 6 miles that day because I had no cash, no anything, you know, nothing. I had to walk back home because no one would pick me up just to teach me a lesson.
What do you remember thinking and feeling during those 6 miles of walking?
You know, it's weird. I was walking and I was so depressed because I thought, my God, now I have a DUI. Like, so now I have no mom, I'm an orphan, and now rock bottom.
It was around this time that Cristela started getting up on stage at the comedy club where she worked. Performing felt good, and stand-up gave her a way to talk about her mom.
I'm not very girly, and I come from an old-school Mexican family that they expect you to always wear makeup and be dressed up, you know? My mom would be like, mija, why aren't you wearing makeup? Because I'm going to bed, dude. It's like late.
Cristela started meeting other comics and doing stand-up on the road. She eventually decided to move back to L.A. She wrote for TV and performed on Last Comic Standing. Then she came up with an idea for her own show. She called it Cristela. She pitched it to ABC.
And I remember they passed on the pilot, and I thought, well, I'm going to go back to doing stand-up. Why not? I had a week in San Antonio. I remember that. I was on the plane, had no Wi-Fi. I landed, and I had all these calls on my phone. And the producer of the show, she called me, and she said, you know, I just feel like there's something here.
So even though ABC passed on the pitch, Cristela and her producer decided to make the pilot anyway. They had a tiny budget and used the set of an existing sitcom, a Tim Allen show.
The crew worked overnight and changed the set to kind of make it look different and pretty much donated their time. And the audience was packed with people that knew me from stand-up. And I remember that night I came out, we shot the pilot, and the first scene, everybody laughed, and you kind of knew that we had something special. There's something different about this show.
On her show, Cristela plays a young law student who has to move home to take care of her mother. One of the pilot's earliest scenes is Cristela's character waiting for a job interview at a law office, where she's mistaken for a janitor.
Is this really happening?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. Obviously, you're not the cleaning crew. Can you validate me?
I think you've been validated enough.
The audience was predominantly Latino, and they got jokes that the network didn't get reading the pilot. And basically, because they passed on the pilot, the network and the studio couldn't give us notes because we were doing it on our own. So
you had creative control.
Absolutely. And then we turned it in, and it turns out they liked the pilot. So all of a sudden, this pilot, this long shot, we're like the Bad News Bears, we're the underdogs. We're still kind of in the running. And finally, I get the call, and they tell me that the show's been picked up.
Do you remember what you did after getting that call?
I actually cried for a really long time. I cried a lot because everything that I've done with my career, every time I get like a break, I always think of my mom before anything else.
At that point in your career, were you feeling financially secure? Were you able to support yourself through your performing?
No, I was actually very broke, and I was actually in the middle of, I was preparing to move back to Texas. I had given up.
Really?
I was, I was doing stand-up, I was doing college gigs, and my boyfriend at the time, we were so broke, we had to borrow money from his parents to keep going as long as we could. Our friends gave us money to kind of keep going because they kind of believed in what we were both trying to do.
This is like help with rent money?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is rent money. This is bills. This is, you know what I mean? This is gas. I mean, I was pretty broke. Even when I was developing the show and we shot the pilot, I wasn't getting paid for the pilot. Like the cast, we paid the cast. I didn't get paid anything. When we got the show picked up and I had to go to upfronts, I bought a dress, wore it, and then I had to return it because I couldn't afford the dress.
Really?
Yeah. That's how broke I was.
Where'd you buy the dress from?
J. Crew.
I won't tell them. Cristela, the show, premiered in late 2014, and critics loved Cristela, the person. The show named after her, though, got panned. After 22 episodes with disappointing ratings, ABC canceled it.
I was really proud of the stories we told because they were very personal to me. At the same time, though, I find it really surprising at how critical people were of my life. As a Latino show, as a show with a Latino family, for some reason, we have to represent all Latinos. And if Latinos see my show and they don't resonate with, you know, they don't really connect with what I'm trying to say, they say that I'm being stereotypical or like my family's not like that. Well, it's not about your family. That's why the name of the show is Cristela. It's like, this is my family. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't see Roseanne and think that all white moms are like that. Like, that's just Roseanne. I mean, I'm talking about a specific demographic, which is a Mexican family from South Texas, a show set in Dallas. And even then, I can't represent all South Texan Mexicans because we are all different, you know. So when I look back, it was interesting to not get the support that I thought I was going to get because my career, I think I've been pretty much known for being very honest about where I come from and how I lived.
What's your mood about your career right now?
My mood is that I'm so picky. And I was actually working on developing a new show this year, actually. And then after the election, I pulled out of the deal because I wanted to wait a year to see what the climate would be like politically throughout the country. I didn't want to develop and put so much effort on a show that maybe the network would be too frightened to put on the air.
Cristela's also taken the last few years to focus on herself. She broke up with her longtime boyfriend after 10 years together.
I've never really been single. You know what I mean? It's like I grew up with my family obligation. I met my boyfriend in Dallas. We were both, you know, doing stand-up. I moved to L.A. He moves with me. He lives with me. So I've never really been alone. And trust me, my life is not like Sex and the City at all. They lied. They lied. But you know what? I kind of like living by myself.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it's like when you have a job where you talk to people all the time, it's kind of nice to have that moment where you can be in your little cave, you know? And like, this is my thing. Like, I'll buy like a Lego set and I'll build Legos by myself in my apartment. Like, I bought the...
You will?
Yeah, like, I bought the Lego Batcave set, and it's Bruce Wayne Manor with, like, Batcave, like, the Batcave and the Batmobile. I will sit and build Legos, and I just put on music, and I just go to town. That's kind of what I like to do.
That's Cristela Alonso. You can watch her latest special, Lower Classy, on Netflix. The 22 episodes of her show, Cristela, are there too. She's also a voice in the next Cars animated movie. Her character is named Cruz Ramirez. Death, Sex, and Money is a listener-supported production of WNYC Studios in New York. I'm based at the Center for Investigative Reporting in Emeryville, California. The team includes Katie Bishop, Chester Jesus Soria, Emily Botine, Andrew Dunn, and Chase Colpon. Our intern is Adriana Rush. The Reverend John DeLure and Steve Lewis wrote our theme music. I'm on Twitter at Anna Sale. The show is at Death, Sex, Money. And don't forget, tonight, February 22nd, let's watch the classic breakup movie 10 Things I Hate About You together. All the details are on our Facebook page. I'll be using the hashtag DSM Movie Night as I watch with you. Back when Cristela would spend hours in front of her TV, she says one of her favorite shows was Golden Girls. She even got sent to the principal's office because she wouldn't stop singing the theme song in class.
I love this show so much, I even did it in Spanish. Like, gracias por ser mi amigo. I used to do it, like, that's how much I loved it. I sat down and translated the song in Spanish. That's how much I loved it.
I'm Anna Sale, and this is Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC.